the wick that you would turn up, and you'd have a flame light it and put the globe back on and so forth. So the he in the verse is speaking prophetically of Jesus Christ. And the smoking flax is likening the wick to Christians. Let me prove that to you. Go over to Matthew 12 and verse 16, where Christ quotes this text from Isaiah. It's interesting. He quotes pretty much the whole text. I didn't read verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 42, but all of this is in the text that Christ spoke of, Matthew 12:16. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias, that's Isaiah, the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Now watch this. "A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." So he's saying that all believers in Christ ought to have a burning wick, and it ought to be burning bright. But there are so many Christians who don't have that wick burning bright. They have become content with a smoking flax, a smoking wick. This morning, I want to speak to someone. You're saved, and you might have some light left. Your light isn't out, but the truth is your light isn't burning as brightly as it ought to, and it hasn't been for some time now. We need to be honest with ourselves when we are confronted by the Word of God and look in the mirror of the Word of God. I'm not beating on you. I'm trying to help you this morning, but maybe you barely shine for Christ anymore. About all you do is give just enough light so that you can see the darkness, and you're not doing much for the Lord anymore. The Lord wants to speak to you through this message about the wick that barely burns. Let's pray first, and we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, now we're asking you to take this simple message and challenge our hearts. With all the COVID going on, the election, the riots and everything else that Brad mentioned in his challenge to start Sunday school, Lord, it could be that one of our brethren has gotten to this point where their wick is barely burning. They're not bright for the Lord like they used to be. And I pray, oh Lord, that there would be a challenge here that they would accept today, and that there would be a change to burn bright again for your glory and honor. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'll give you three main thoughts about this wick. Three main thoughts. First, the smoking flax is pitiful. Pitiful. There's two basic reasons why this flax is pitiful. Regarding the lamp with a smoking flax or a smoking wick, we see first that it gives no light. Well, the whole purpose of a lamp is to give light. Brethren, you are the lamp for Jesus Christ today in this world. The fact that this wick is flickering is really sad, because we need light. We're in a dark world. We need light. We need every Christian burning bright. The whole purpose of any lamp is to give light. And the lamp may be beautiful. It may be antique. It may be expensive, but if it doesn't give light, it's not fulfilling its purpose for which it was made. That's our job as a Christian too. We are supposed to give light spiritually in a dark world. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, Matthew 5, 14, ye are the light of the world. He's talking about us. Before that, he had said he is the light, but now we are. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Brethren, we don't have long before Jesus Christ appears. We're all more convinced of that than ever before with the things we've gone through with COVID. And we see the things that the Bible speaks about that will appear and will occur during the tribulation. And we're seeing little glimmers of what that can be and how fast a nation can change overnight. And the events change us and change our freedoms. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. I mean, it's here today and gone tomorrow. It seems, I was talking to Shirley this week, seems like I was a teenager yesterday. It seems, I know that's hard for you to understand, but I lived it and I can remember. I was recalling things with my brother, Daryl, who's I think 77 or something like that. And things that we did back when I was a teenager, he had us out to his house in Illinois. I remember, I mean, it seems like life is just speeding by. Bye. We're not going to be here for long. We must give light. That's why we exist as believers in Christ. Shirley and I have toured Mammoth Cave in Kentucky and Carlsbad Cavern in New Mexico. Boy, you talk about dark places. Caverns are dark places. If you don't have somebody with a light or a lantern, you'd get lost. Easily trip, fall, couldn't find your way out. You are dependent on the one with the lantern in that case. And this world is dark, and it's filled with sin and debauchery, and it spiritually it's dark. Also, others depend on our lamp, like the group of people in the cave, follow the guide with the lantern. They're following us. They're depending on us to have a lamp. How disgusting it is when all the wick does is smoke. All it does is smoke. Have you ever seen an oil lamp with a wick that smokes? Well, the chimney globe, that becomes dark, black. The soot keeps rising. And before long, if you have a low enough ceiling, you get a little black residue up on the ceiling. Pretty soon, the whole room smells and looks sooty. That lamp doesn't give any light. It just makes everything black. It gets soot all over everything because it is a smoking flax, a smoking wick. We're talking about the wick that barely burns. The Bible's speaking of the smoking flax, the kind of person who comes to church, but not all the services, hits and misses. He gives, but never sacrificially. He gives just some. He likes to see folks get saved, but he himself never witnesses. He's for the Bible. He's not against the Bible, but he seldom studies it, sits down with it in front of him, and really concentrates on what's there and tries to get something out of it. He believes in prayer, but he sees very few answers. He really makes a little effort in spiritual matters. He's just hanging around the church. He's glad to be connected to, affiliated with our church. He likes many of the folks who are there, the personalities. He's a fine person otherwise. He loves the Lord in some ways. He hates evil. He doesn't do anything seriously wrong. But to tell the truth, he doesn't shine very brightly. His light could be bright, but it's merely a smoking flax. It's pitiful. Secondly, it's pitiful because not only does it not give light, but his wick gives no heat. No heat. I remember reading, I can't remember what the statistics are, but if you have a lamp with a globe, the wick, you turn it up, it'll increase, it gives off heat. And I don't know how many BTUs or watts of heat that it is in some of the places that I looked. It seems like it's 3 or 4 degrees of heat that it gives off. Have you ever had a campfire and the campfire burned down to just embers and the embers even died down? There was still some fire there, some spark, but there was no heat. Many Christians are like that. It's pitiful, but they have no heat. There's very little fire down in their heart. They love God. They say that they love God. If somebody cursed God, it would hurt them inside. They're not for that. Kind of like Lot. Kind of like Lot in the Bible. The Bible says that Sodom's sins vexed Lot's soul, but he wouldn't do anything about it. He let his daughters participate. What's that all about? He even offered his daughters to the wicked Sodomites, we read. Lot hated their sin, but he didn't hate it enough to take a stand and let his light shine. He wouldn't take that stand. He didn't hate it enough to move his family out of that area. He had a light inside, but it wasn't enough to give any heat. It was a smoking wick. It was a smoking flax. Maybe you're the same way today. Maybe this day finds you in the same condition. Some of you have worked your job in your where you work for 5, 10, 15 more years maybe. Everybody there knows that you're a Christian, but you haven't really ever given out the gospel heat. No, you've not done that. I mean, nobody ever gets saved because of your testimony or witness or influence where you work. No one comes to church with you that you invited to come. Why? Because you're unwilling to turn the heat up. You've gotten lazy in your witness. It's easier to be a silent witness, whatever a silent witness is. U.S. soldiers daily are willing to risk their lives for our freedoms and principles overseas. Where are the Christian soldiers? Where are the Christian soldiers who are willing to give their lives right here every day to stand for the biblical principles in their workplace, in their family, in their neighborhood, community? God doesn't want you and me to become a smoking flax. You were meant, and I was meant, to give light and heat. God made you to give heat and light. He commanded us to go and give the good news. God wants us to influence and compel others to receive Christ, to do right. We're to teach them all the things that whatsoever he's commanded us. They need to hear from us what the Bible says. If they don't hear from us, where are they going to hear it? You think the media is going to tell them? Not on your life. You think that they're going to hear it from other neighbors who are lost? Maybe cults? They'll hear the wrong things there. We're the ones with the light, and we're the ones with the heat, and we need to turn the temperature up. We've sung "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." We learned that in Sunday school class when I was a kid. But we've sung it so long that we started to believe that all you can have is a little light, a flickering flax. We need to be stirred again, that our fire may burn bright again. Oh, that it might happen today. That somebody's flickering light might turn into a full glow, a bright light once again. Today we're considering the wick that barely burns. Look with me at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Is God pleased when the wick is barely burning? No. No, he's not. The smoking flax is the kind that makes God vomit, in fact. It makes him want to lose his breakfast, so to speak. Revelation 3, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The sad thing is, it wouldn't take much for your spiritual fire to reignite. It wouldn't take much. What can I do to make a smoldering campfire quickly flame up again? What could I do? Well, common sense. I mean, put some dry kindling on. Fan it. I mean, we just need to do the things that we need to do to get it going again. What can I do to make a wick quickly burn bright again? You need to trim the wick. I mean, you got to trim that wick and turn it up a little bit. What is wrong with us, brethren? We know how to do that, but we don't know how to get the flame back in our life. We were made to burn bright, to have heat, to have light. God wants us to give light and heat. Meanwhile, all that some of us are doing is smoking. I don't mean a cigarette. We're smoking when we should be shining. There's no heat anymore. There's no light anymore. We've gotten used to it that way. We've allowed ourselves to get into a rut of this. But it wouldn't take much for us to burn bright again. How about it, Christian? Are you really born again? Then give yourself this morning to the Master again in rededication. Put some kindling on the fire again. Make a fresh commitment back to the things that you know are true and that you should be doing. We know this, that this is possible, and we ought to do it. Look again at Isaiah 42 and verse 3. 42 verse 3. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Did you notice that Christ has a strange way of treating those who are like a smoking flax? Point number two. Christ is patient with the one who is a smoking flax. If it were me, I'd probably chew them out. If it were me, I'd probably judge them. I'd really let them know it. But the Bible says that Christ won't do that. Christ won't quench that smoking flax. Today, if anyone listening has a flickering of a light left, God won't put it out. As long as you have a light to shine, God is waiting for you to wake up spiritually again. Oh, God is so good to us. It could be that your wick has gone down or gone out because you just got it lit. It's brand new. You just got saved. God is not going to put your light out. He's glad that you have some light. Sometimes we fundamental churches are too hard on people who don't do everything exactly like they ought to do it. Sometimes we are. Remember, it took a year for you, maybe, to give up your cigarettes or your gambling or whatever it was. But here's a guy who just got saved a week ago, and you're rolling your eyes because he's still doing it. He's still doing whatever the vice was that he has. Sometimes we forget how it is to be a baby Christian. Sometimes we forget that while salvation is instantaneous, sanctification is progressive. We have a lot to grow in. That means that the more that we learn, the closer we get to Christ, the more we change our life to please Him, to conform to His image. Oh, I think you ought to give up cigarettes and gambling and all those things, but God is patient with you and me. In fact, He is more patient with us than we are with each other. The smoking flax He will not quench. Maybe you had a little light, but at least you were still shining a little bit. There's signs of it, at least, with the smoking flax. And then somebody criticized you. Somebody hurt you. Someone disappointed you. Someone let you down, ignored you. And ever since, you've just been a smoking flax. You've been in that rut. You've been in that zone. Listen, God wants you to burn for Him. Even if it's a little light, He wants you to burn for Him. He will not quench it. Our text also says, and we didn't emphasize this, a bruised reed, talking about something that's hurt, injured, a bruised reed shall he not break. Praise God for that. Let me give you some reasons why God might be patient with the smoking flax. Why is He so patient with us? Could it be that God remembers what we used to be? Could it be? Could it be that God sees that your wick is very short right now and not doing well and not burning bright and that it's a smoking flax, but there was a day when you were not like that? There was a day when you were burning bright for the Lord Jesus. Maybe there was a day when you were faithful, and there was a day when you visited others yourself and invited them to church. Maybe there was a day when you once read the Bible and studied the Bible and prayed and were faithful to it. Maybe He sees that you used to teach or you used to work in the church and give yourself to labor for Him. I can think of a lot of people like this. Their lamp burned brightly in the past, but now they have only a few strands of their wick sticking up, and they're smoldering, and that's all. Can I tell you something? That God, your God, still loves you. He cares for you. He will not extinguish the smoking flax. He remembers where you were, and He says, don't quench it. I'm not mad at you. I love you. Come to me again so that you can burn brightly again. By the way, don't you love a comeback? Boy, I love a comeback. Losing by 32 points in the third quarter, the Buffalo Bills found a way to defeat the Houston Oilers in the NFL wild card game on January the 3rd, 1993. That dates me, doesn't it? 27 years ago. They were trailing 35-3 when backup quarterback Frank Reich threw four touchdown passes to gain a 38-38 tie. In overtime, Buffalo kicked the field goal and won the game 41-38. In the greatest comeback in football history, it still stands today. I saw that game. I happened to be watching that day. I'll never forget it. Everyone applauds Buffalo for the great comeback and for not quitting. But maybe you have fallen behind in your Christian walk. Maybe you haven't been all that you should be for Christ. Maybe you have really let the Lord down. You've had a bad half, we could say. Maybe the devil's been constantly defeating you. Maybe you haven't let your light shine like you should. God wants you to make a remarkable comeback today. Today. We're preaching live stream, but it could happen right in your home or wherever you're watching or listening today. Why don't you resolve to get back to where you used to be? Why don't you make a comeback? The second reason why God is patient with the smoking flax might be that God sees what you will be someday. God sees what you can be. He's always looking at the possibility. Maybe God sees that you're going to catch fire so that he says, don't quench the flicker in that one's life. I've seen a person after person who were burning a little bit but not much, who gave a little bit but not much, who read their Bibles a little bit but not much, some who quit their gossiping but not altogether, some who quit their cussing but not completely, some who quit their porn but not completely. Then one day, all of a sudden, it seems like one sermon triggered a change in their life. When I pastored, I tried to be patient with folks who were off track, because I can get off track, and God is patient with me, and I don't deserve it, but his grace extends it. I can remember what they used to be, and so I could be patient. I could be patient because I still had vision for what they can be if they repent and made reconciliation. A friend of mine was a pastor. I preached for him several revivals. But he fell into sin, and he's in prison today. Oh, he became a smoking flax with his wick barely burning, mostly smoking as he started his 28-year stint in prison. He was extremely discouraged. Shirley and I write to him, and she texts his wife. We send him letters, books, flyers, anything to encourage him. God's been patient with him. We received a letter from him on Friday. Something's happened. He's confessed his sin. That's a good place to start. He is praying for his inmates. After all, he was a pastor. And he's been teaching a Bible study in the prison. One tough member of a gang has opened up to him, he said in the letter. And he asked us, the gang member asked him to pray for him, and he wanted him to pray right there out loud in the middle of the area where everybody could see them. And then this brother asked me and Shirley to pray. He wants to lead that one man to Christ. God is using him again. His light is burning brightly again. Why? Because God is patient with us. Aren't you glad about that? Mark Scarborough received Christ on September the 15th, 2002. But had some ups and downs in those early days, we all do. At one point, I told the staff that I thought that we'd lost him and Annie, but that I was making one more visit, pray about that. Something happened to Mark and Annie. I don't know what all it was, and you can talk to them about it, but all of a sudden, their lights started to burn bright again. And they made a commitment that they were going to be in church, and they've been burning brightly ever since. Amen. I'm excited about that. I wonder how it is with you. God is patient, but will you let him ignite you spiritually again today? Do you remember how Peter's light had been reduced to just a flicker? You remember that? But Christ could see the potential. He could see that it would burn brightly again, and he told him, Peter, feed my sheep. And I could go on and on. This is one reason that we need to be more patient with our young people in the church. Love our teens and love our young adults. Be patient with them, knowing how patient God has been with you. God, give them time. Don't write any of them off. Don't characterize them because of one situation. Well, they're no good. They goofed up. They had an attitude toward me, and I can't trust them anymore. No, don't be like that. God is patient with you. Do you know how hard it is to come back to church after you fouled up? When they come back, you welcome them. Reach out to them. Show them and tell them that you're glad that they're here. I'm not talking about becoming lax on rules or biblical truth. I am talking about not being critical and writing people off. Show care, show concern, show your love. Yeah, I'm sure glad that nobody wrote me off. Wow. I plead with you, don't quench the smoking flax and be grateful that Christ doesn't. Follow Christ's lead and be patient with someone who is struggling in their Christian walk right now. Don't give up on them. Get a burden for them. Number three, God will prune the smoking flax. Isaiah 42 and verse 3 says at the end of the verse, he will bring forth judgment unto truth. Turn over to John chapter 15 in the New Testament. John 15. Sometimes God's patience runs out, and he decides to initiate a process of chastening or pruning to motivate us to do better, to shine brighter, to address the issue, to face it. Jesus said, every branch in me, in verse 2, John 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, listen, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What happens when one of his branches doesn't do what he intended for it to do and produce more fruit? He purges it. What's that mean? He cuts it back. He prunes it. He makes it life a little rough in order to get that branch's attention to get back to fruit bearing. He allows some cuttings to their wick so that they will burn brighter. There are two truths that we need to just remember on this. Number one, God only does this when we refuse to shine bright. He only has to do it when we refuse to listen to his word and do what's necessary to shine bright again. Secondly, God only does this for our benefit so that we will be motivated to return and surrender. Today, could I reason with you as we close? Does God have to purge and cut you to make you more effective as a believer, as a witness, as a light for him? Does he have to do that to bring you back? Does he have to? Or can you realize on your own today, from his word, your condition? Can you realize it and come to him voluntarily, right where you are, right now? If you can, then God won't see you anymore as the wick that barely burns. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder if there's someone who would say, while you're watching the live stream or listening in the parking lot, is there one who would say, preacher, I'm not sure that I have a wick yet. That is, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven if I died. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I want to be sure. If that's you today, call one of our church staff or one of our deacons or me today, and we'll be happy to show you how you can be saved. You ought to handle it today. While the Holy Spirit is stirring you, do something about it today. I wonder if there's a Christian who would dare to be honest before God right now, right where you are right now, and clear your conscience and fan your embers and put some kindling on your spiritual fire again. Will you take time to pray in this quiet moment and let God rekindle your fire?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.